We have a unique situation going on right now. We have Nikki Kramer of Pets Plus Natural Grooming, just about ready to groom the vice president of my company. It's Sophie. Now, Sophie's the 22-year-old at Soap and Bean Pet Care. Well, this is Sophie. She's got a bunch of mats, and Nikki, on the air, is going to be the first ever on the radio grooming. She's going to be groomed. So, Nikki, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So how do these mats look? Are they awfully terrible?
They're not too bad. It's very, very common in short-haired cats who are getting a little bit up there.
Okay, so people always ask, is she short hair or long hair? And she's sort of in between. She doesn't have, like, real short hair. So I always thought she was a long hair, but she's a Norwegian Royal, and you consider her a short hair?
Technically, I would consider her a short hair. Long hair is usually 2 inches or longer.
Okay. And she's gold and white. And because she's 22 years old, she hasn't been able to bend and be as mobile as she used to, so she can't get certain mats back by her back legs and under her chin. So, and she's meowing a little bit, but Nikki, she's pretty tolerant, isn't she?
She's very tolerant. I have to give her a lot of credit for this.
Kudos to Sophie.
Very, very good.
All right. So you're brushing her now.
I'm using my metal comb tool to just get any of the mats out that I can. She's actually being so good that I might not even have to use any clippers. If a cat will let me comb them out, I'll just comb them. Once you start clipping the coat, there's a chance that it'll grow back in funny.
Okay.
If we can avoid some funny patches on this.
Right. Now, because she's 22, we wouldn't want her to go through the rest of her life till she's 32 with funny clumps.
I do have a lot of long-haired cats, though, where the owners request them to be cut, and then even from a young age, they'll have really funky hair.
Okay, all right.
It's hard to explain. It kind of just grows in coarse.
Again, when she was 7 and she had her back broken, they shaved off all of her hair on her back, and you could see it's grown back fine, at least over the last 14 years it has.
No, she does. She has a very, very good coat.
Right.
It's usually, these are just little clumps that we're very used to with older cats.
You meowing? She's meowing a little bit.
But she is in fantastic shape for 22. I have to give her a lot of credit.
Well, she's been an outside cat. She was an outside cat in Minnesota. She'd go out in the snow and come back in the morning with body parts of little bunnies.
Latest catch.
Right, the latest catch. And she'd give the best parts to us. But she never was sick, other than the fact that she got ran over by a car or truck in the alley when she was 7. And I mentioned she had her jaw wired for 3 months, and all of her legs had little casts on them. And she had 20 or 39 stitches on her back, and that's when they cut her hair off there. But it grew back nicely.
It did. She did. She grew back very nicely. Now, has anybody ever told you why cats bring you the prey?
No, I just assumed because you're the owner, the mommy, or the daddy, they bring you the best parts.
They bring you the prey because they think you're a poor hunter.
Oh. Really?
True fact. They bring you the prey because they think you're a poor hunter.
You're stuck inside and
so it's their gift to you to make sure you eat.
Oh, so they're the hunters and we're the gatherers.
It is a fun fact about cat.
Oh, that's amazing.
My mother had one that used to bring her a bird every single day.
Oh, my. Oh,
of course, it's, you have to act like
it. I had another question. My wife and I always have an argument about washing cats, and I've never washed her, ever. And some people wash their cats, and what's the general rule about cat washing?
I'm actually glad you brought that up. General rule is you should not wash your cat.
Okay.
Cats clean themselves, and they do a very, very good job of doing it. Once you start washing your cat, they will stop washing themselves.
Oh, wow.
For the most part, there are always the exceptions. I have a couple customers whose cats will continue to wash.
Right.
So, generally do not wash them. Sophie, you have to let me in. She's headbutting me. So
now, we've got Sophie up on her back legs, and we're holding her up. And right now, Nikki is doing her chest. And there were a lot of mats there. It looks like you got a lot of them, didn't you?
She really is very tolerant. She let me brush most of them out, and then I could comb the rest of them out. And, you know, for the viewers that obviously can't see, she had a good bit of little clumpy mats.
It's okay, Sophie.
Very nicely.
It's so nice.
Back to the washing cats. You can do a dry bath or a waterless shampoo, which I actually brought so we could watch Sophie get a waterless bath.
Right.
And those are usually sprays, or dry bath is a powder. And they're specifically...
Oh, it's okay, Sophie.
They're specifically so that the cat won't actually get completely wet, and then they'll continue to clean themselves.
I see.
When cats get older, when they get a little chunky, they can't always reach certain spots. So, you know, you got to help them.
It's okay, Sophie. Well, these are the tough ones. These are back by her back legs now. These are the thick mats. That's good. So how long have you been in the business?
I have been grooming for a little over 6 years now. Yep. Abby, my assistant here, has been grooming for about two.
Hello, Abby.
Hi.
Abby doesn't have a mic, so you might have heard dead air for a second. What kind of training did you get?
I was actually trained by the PetSmart Academy.
Oh, they're, okay, Academy.
Way back, PetSmart used to do an academy. And I was trained by that academy, and then I furthered my education with the Nash Grooming Program.
Okay.
Which is articles and online, and then you follow their program, and you learn a couple more technical cuts. I was trained on show poodles. My instructor was fortunate enough to have three different show poodles, so that was just a blast.
Right.
There's so much you can do with poodles. We did one in a... curly cut. It looked like you got stuck in a can opener.
Oh, it's okay, Sophie. Now, do you groom just cats and dogs, or?
I groom a little bit of everything. We have shaved guinea pigs before.
Oh, guinea pigs. Okay.
I have groomed rabbits.
Okay.
We clip birds.
Do rabbits get mats?
Rabbits do get mats.
Okay.
Not too often, but if you have an Angora rabbit or something specifically with that long cottony hair,
okay,
they get really matted. And most rabbit owners don't know to brush the rabbits, and most rabbits don't like being brushed.
Got it. So now, when a cat isn't, or a dog isn't, is, I guess, eager, or not, she's not eager, but she's willing to get groomed right now, do you ever put a cat or a dog on meds?
I request that owners go to the vet to get the meds if they have to. Now, I do have a natural stress relief. It's like a serum that I can give them. It's passion flower, skullcap root, valerian root, but it doesn't always work as well as good old
right.
tranquilizer.
Right. But the vet would give the tranquilizer or give you a pill to give them.
The vet will give the owner the pill to give an hour to 2 hours ahead of the
Gotcha. Care. Gotcha.
I have a few customers. We try not to turn customers down, so we'll always be willing to try.
Right.
We do have a good bit of customers who have some problems.
Now, is there a difference between, say, a really domesticated cat and a feral cat in terms of grooming?
I do have, the feral cats do tend to be a little bit more feisty. I have customers that'll bring me their feral cats once a year for a good shave down, and they're, of course, encrusted in everything.
Right.
And they're a bit more inclined to bite.
Right.
Quite a bit more inclined to bite, which is why we have special gauntlets that we'll put on. We have special equipment to put on.
Is a gauntlet like a headpiece?
The gloves.
Oh, your gloves. I see. Gotcha. Yeah. Sophie, you don't need a gauntlet. She just complains just a little bit. And how many years have you been doing it?
A little over 6.5.
6.5 years. That's cool. And talked about the license and the type of training. And how long is the training?
The training, it really depends on what you do. I've had a couple interns that have done, it's 200 hours of a DVD program.
Right.
My training was a month of hands-on, and then 100 hours of hands-on on top of that. Abby was actually pretty much versed out of school. She did a technical school that trained her how to do sheeps and goats. A little bit of everything.
Sheeps and goats.
So one day I had an intern in my office, and they were just a little bit too slow for me. So Abby picked up the clippers and just did the job for them. And after that, I said, you're going to learn how to groom, and you're going to like it.
Abby, I'm going to put the mic over to you. Tell me about grooming a sheep or a goat.
It's not really grooming. You're really shearing sheep. It's these big shears, and you pull all the wool off. So it's basically for show. So you see all their muscles and everything like that. And then you go to farm show, and then judging they get judged by how they look and stuff like that.
And the wool is all the wool used, like, or in, given to like people that make things out of wool?
Yeah.
That was a yes.
The clippers that they use on livestock are much larger than the clippers we use in grooming, too. Abby's always joking to me that if I were to use those kinds of shears, I would be taking her fingers off when she's holding the animals for me.
I've seen those shears at county fairs. You know, you go back in the barns and watch them actually do the shearing of the sheep before they go out for their competitions, and those are big shears.
It's entertaining watching them shear those sheep at those competitions.
Clipped my thumb.
Like, did I do that recently? Yeah. That was with normal clippers. They clipped your thumb, mind you.
Now, we're moving along. Does it look like she's going to have to be sheared at all?
Actually, doesn't look like she's going to need to be sheared at all. She pretty much allowed all of those mats to be brushed out, which most cats would not have allowed. So I am very proud. We might do a little bit of a bikini trim right here.
Ooh, now I'm not going to look.
All right, so we're going to do a quick little bikini trim.
Now you're going to hear the shears go on. So that's what the funny sound is right now. That's the shears going off. She's getting a little bikini. And I did bring her a beach hat, so we could put her beach hat on after she gets her bikini.
Ready for some lovely weather.
Now, are we going to do waxing, too, or just the...
No, we're going to just do the thorough Brazilian.
A Brazilian, uh-oh. I've heard about that. Now, this is a very conservative network, so we won't go that route.
I like that one. Sure.
All right, she... A little bit more somewhere.
Coming back in.
We're just doing a little cut here on her belly. She's got a few mats left there, but she got her mats under her neck and on her sides by her back legs. And she's not as mobile as she used to be, and she sort of walks funny. She's got this funny gait because of the broken back, you know, years ago.
She looks fantastic considering what she's been through.
Now, what's this spray you're going to put on her?
This is the Furminator Hairball Prevention Waterless Spray for Cats.
Okay. So this is what you would recommend as opposed to giving a bath.
Definitely recommend anything.
Oops.
Waterless. So you spray it right on.
Right.
And then you rub it in with the towel, which Abby is doing for me. Thank you.
Okay.
But the Furminator has a fantastic line of anything that sheds.
Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Furminator?
It is not, but that is where they got the name from. Oh. The Furminator.
I didn't
do that very good today.
Well, we'll let it go. He doesn't do it very well. He's the governator.
But it has all of the, it smells tropical.
Oh, and it smells nice.
Fabulous.
Sophie, you are nice.
Rich with omega-3s and omega-6s, which help the shedding come out.
Okay.
So should hopefully actually minimize her matting, or at least hold it back a little bit.
All right, so she'll a cat naturally sheds a little bit or a lot of their hair normally.
Yeah, definitely. Cats, there's no non-shed, except maybe a sphinx. But as far as I'm aware, there's no...
Hairless is a sphinx, right?
The sphinx ones are the little naked ones.
Yeah, they're weird looking.
They are.
But I guess if you own one, you like them.
They are cute. Well, there you go, Miss Sophie. Very, very nice.
We're probably combining a couple segments, and somewhere along the line we've taken a break, and now we're continuing. But that's okay. We're outside the studio. This is a remote location. We have a remote headset and microphone, and Sophie's out here in the weather and having a great time. And I think we'll take a couple shots of it out here. So we'll have it for posterity. But it's a cloudy day. It's not too muggy. It's about 80 degrees, something like that. And so you're getting a weather report. I heard the weatherman a couple days ago talking about a thunderstorm, and he says, and we got a lot of boom booms out there. Now, that's a real official weather report, if I ever heard one. We've got boom booms out there. So, that's right. So, Sophie is almost done.
Miss Sophie, Miss Sophie, I would like to do your toenails while I'm here.
Oh, look at that. You're going to get groomed totally, Sophie. And she needs them about now, too, doesn't
they
she?
They are, too.
All right, so now we're on the air on the radio doing the first toe nip.
Doing a pedicure.
A little pedicure. All right. And she likes pedicures. She doesn't. A pedicure. That's right.
Should have brought the nail polish.
Oh, no nail polish, please. She likes clear nail polish. Oh, look at, I can see your little pink tummy there where the hair was cut. So.
Good sanitary. Most cats can use a good sanitary.
Yeah.
At any age.
Now, what's the average time period between toenail clippings?
Toenail clippings vary by cat. I have to do my cat every 3 weeks, but I have other customers that for some reason every maybe 6 months I see them.
Well, she doesn't go 6 months, but I think she usually is in about the 6 week area. And her her buddy, which is Jilly Bean, she's six. She's a feral cat. And we got her down in Georgetown, Delaware, at the SPCA. And her brother was Jack, and she was Jill. But we couldn't take them both because we had Sophie, and we just needed one companion for Sophie. So she looks like she's almost done.
Sophie is all set now. Miss Sophie is all set.
All right. So we had the first grooming on the air on the radio. So what else? Why don't you tell me a little bit about you? So where are you from?
I am from the Hatfield area. Do people know where Hatfield is?
I don't know. I don't know where Hatfield is, but I'm not from here.
Hatfield.
It's in Pennsylvania, I would imagine.
Yeah, that it is. I believe it's described as a suburb of Philadelphia.
Oh.
No?
No. What county is it in? Is it in
Montgomery
County. Oh, Montgomery County. Okay. Off of like 309?
It's off of 309, actually.
All right. So I'm
close to 309.
See.
I just bought a house on an acre and a quarter.
So. Oh, nice. Nice size.
I have four
sheep and goats.
You know, I was actually offered alpaca.
Oh,
a llama? 18 alpaca.
Oh, wow.
But I just decided I don't know what I would do with them.
Do they eat grass?
They do eat grass. They are very, very nifty. There's somebody that's just not up for her alpaca anymore, and what she does is she shears them when they need to be sheared.
Is it sheared like it has
like
normal
sheep.
Wool?
Yeah, yeah,
sheep?
It's got normal
okay.
Wool. They look like little bobbleheads when they're done.
Okay,
bobblehead. I have all of the wool that I have ever sheared in my trunk, and I don't know what to do with it, so she has no need for the alpaca.
Oh, so she has the wool or you have the wool?
She has the wool.
Oh, she has it. And she doesn't know what to do with it. She just keeps accumulating it.
Yeah, really. So
well, she should go on the internet, Craigslist or something, and say, I have all this alpaca wool.
Alpaca fiber.
Who wants it? I'll give it to you free. Just come and get it.
Yeah. I don't know what else the point of alpaca would be except to have bobbleheads in your back.
So you grew up in the Hatfield area?
I grew up, I moved around a lot as a kid, actually. I was born in New Jersey, Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay.
I lived in North Carolina for a couple years. And then we came back up here when I was 14. My mom moved around a lot for work, so we finally, at 14, she said, I'm stuck here.
You 21 yet?
I am 27.
Oh, 27. A young-looking 27, I might add.
27, yeah.
And Sophie's a young-looking 22.
Sophie is actually an excellent-looking 22. I would not have guessed 22 from her. I would not have even come there.
She's 14 pounds. We have a truck going by, so that's what happens when you have one of these remotes. You have exterior sounds. But anyway, so, and did you have other jobs before you got into grooming, or this was your first inclination?
I was going to give that to Sophie to go home with.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I have a degree from Temple in finance.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a master's in business from Drexel. And
so the books are going to be clean at your company.
Clean, they are. I also work for our company's head, one of the owner's assistants, so I help him out where he's where he needs help.
Okay, but so there's more than your store.
There are 10 total. Well, one got hit by a tornado, so 9 right now.
Oh, my God. And what happened to the animals in there? Or were
they evacuated them hours before the tornado hit.
So you had warning. Good.
We did have warning. We evacuated all of the animals before the tornado hit.
And it actually hit your building?
Well, so the air conditioners are 3,000 pounds, and they were picked up off of the roof and thrown.
Wow.
But it doesn't look like a tornado alley, so it's not too bad. But, I mean, the awning went through the front window. There's water in the building.
And tornadoes are so weird because you could have one house totally destroyed and right next door nothing, and then the next one totally destroyed. It just sort of bops around.
It really does. So it doesn't look like it totally got hit by a tornado, but it definitely got damaged.
And how far away did the units fly?
They were in the parking lot, so a good, you know, a good several feet.
Yeah.
It was impressive. They're 3,000 pounds apiece, so that's something to be thrown.
That is.
But we evacuated all the animals. There might still be some fish in the fish tanks.
All right. So the fish tanks were saved. Maybe the water held it down.
The water should have hopefully held it down. But we have 9 stores. And that's that. We're one of the few stores that actually does rescue dogs.
Okay.
Saved over 1,300 lives. Sorry, 1,300 lives.
Okay.
Since we started doing this last August.
So you have a kennel there where you keep the rescue dogs until somebody adopts or...
All the stores except for the one in Norristown have kennels. And we have rescue dogs from Hike Hill Shelters down south.
Okay.
And we have them sent up here where we make sure they're medically treated if they need it. We take care of them, look after them, and then we find them new homes. We have an adoption process.
Do you have a vet on staff as well?
We have a very, very good vet that's usually pretty easy to get a hold of. We use Steinbach down in Bluebell.
Right.
And so far, he's always been there for us.
And he goes to your 9 stores? He's the one vet that you have for all your stores?
All of them, yeah.
And are they all the stores in Pennsylvania?
We have 2, 3, if you include the one that got hit by a tornado in New Jersey.
Okay. And was the New Jersey store one of the ones that was hit by the tornado?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, so you do the books for all the stores?
Well, we have our accounting department, but I...
You're part of the accounting department.
Part of the process.
All right, well, good. What else could you tell me about your life in general? Are you single, you're married, you got kids?
Single, technically.
Technically single.
We're going to go with technically.
Okay.
I have a cat that uses a toilet.
Oh, hey, there is a this is a good story. Oh, I was going to ask you about weird situations. They have something on the market that is like a cat box that you sit on the toilet and has just a little hole. And you put the cat, kitty litter in it. And they'll go to the bathroom, and then it strips away slowly over days or weeks until the hole is very big, and the cat keeps jumping up on there. And then finally, you just take it away, and the cat will come up on the seat and do their thing, and that's their cat box from that point on.
That's how I trained my cat.
Did you?
Yeah, I used, it's called the City Kitty. You have to cut the circles out to make it bigger.
Okay.
And you have to use flushable litter. Don't use clay litter or you'll be calling the Roto-Rooter.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, I sped up the process, mind you, because I didn't like kitty litter in my toilet. He learned fast or else he was going to be on the streets.
How long did it take?
It took 3 weeks.
Okay.
Very, very cool. And now he just completely uses the toilet.
Does he flush on his own?
He does not flush on his own. The way to train them to flush on their own is to treat them with treats, but he's already a chunky monkey.
You're telling me that a cat will flush on their own?
Will flush on their own.
Oh, my God. Well, wow. Will they? I mean, you said you give them kitty treats. Well, if they flush and you're not around, well, you know, they're going to stop flushing, or they just know when you're around they're going to get the treat?
I think there's a dispenser that you can put on the toilet that will dispense when they flush.
As the flush goes down, it dispenses the little
treat. Now, I
my God.
A YouTube video. There was a couple that couldn't figure out why their water bill was so high.
Right.
Their cat was flushing the toilet nonstop all day.
Oh,
that is my other fear. I would have a massive sewer bill.
Well, that is funny. So tell me another, you must have a ton of of stories. What's another interesting story that's happened during your time as a groomer?
Well, we were talking about this before you got here, but so we were grooming this Maine Coon cat, and there's not very many groomers that will groom cats because it is usually difficult. Not everybody is as awesome as Sophie. And Abby was holding Rocket for me. Rocket's the cat.
Rocket the cat.
And Abby ended up leaving the room with 16 puncture wounds and 3 massive scratches. 19
and so that was before you had a chance to put your gloves on.
That was before we had the gloves.
You got the gloves. Okay.
So she's bandaged up from her wrist up to her arms, up to her elbows. She's holding the cat when the owner comes in. Oh, he's so cute. Can he come back again?
I say thank you, but no thanks.
Yeah. So we groomed Rocket several more times after that.
Okay. Oh, you did. But you had gloves on.
She had gloves after that point, and it did take 3 of us at some point, and we would actually put booties on his feet so that he couldn't scratch us. It was a whole process.
Now, as a groomer, do you take like a once a year tetanus shot just in case you get scratched or bitten?
We stick with the, what is tetanus, every 5, 10 years? 10 years. We stick with the 10 years, but if there is a massive mauling, we'll go get something done. Abby just got her tetanus shot about 3-4 months ago.
Or if you get something that looks like it's getting infected, you'll have to go
see a doctor. Now,
right.
Most groomers, if you groom a cat and you get scratched or bit, you must go on antibiotics for a week.
Really?
They're very, very infectious.
Pat, I just heard somewhere in the background, cat scratch fever. It sounds like a song. Cat scratch fever.
That's the only actual disease I know other than just massive infections. But we usually get, one time my hand swelled up to twice its normal size. It's pretty interesting what we get.
I bet. I mean, and what's the, I guess, most unusual or most interesting pet that you have groomed? Anything come to mind?
That is a rough one. I have a long-haired guinea pig that comes in every 6 months or so.
Okay.
Brush out and a good, she actually gets trimmed up really nicely with a skirt.
Okay.
So that's usually funny. Her owners are really, really nice, and I usually don't even know what to charge them for that, so she just goes home for free.
So, yeah, is it a guinea pig that's almost as big as Sophie? Or?
No, she's probably more like the size of Sophie's head. She's about a pound or two, and that's maybe without the fur.
And Sophie's 14 pounds.
Sophie is 14 pounds.
Oh, nice.
Not too bad. There's a study, cat parasite tied to schizophrenia. Oh, that's lovely.
What is that? We're looking at an article from CBS Online and the Internet talking about parasites. A parasite, it's not exterior. They're all internal, aren't they?
That would be internal, I believe. It's saying coming in close contact with cats can spread a parasite called, toxoplasmosa. I know that one.
And what is that?
That is in cat poop.
Oh,
so, it's
in cat poop terminology?
In cat poop. So that's why pregnant women can't scoop the litter box or shouldn't scoop the litter box. Because cat poop, it's not all cats. It's certain cats will test positive for toxoplasmosis. But that's why pregnant women should not scoop the cat box.
Okay. Yep. Didn't know that.
Yeah. So apparently they're linking toxoplasmosis to the mental illness of schizophrenia.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Well, we had enough with schizophrenia. Now we know that it can be spread by cats.
That is quite lovely.
Yeah. Well, I have my mom was schizophrenic, and she was institutionalized most of my life, and I grew up with my grandparents. So I know a little bit about schizophrenia, but never heard about it related to an animal to give it to a human.
That is definitely new.
That is a new one. Wow.
Figure.
Yeah. So any other unusual animal or situation?
I think the most unusual is when I have to do small animals, like rabbits. I had an Angora rabbit that was just terribly, terribly matted. The owners didn't want it anymore. They brought it into the store for us to rehome, and it just needed to be shaved from head to toe. And shaving a cat is one thing. Shaving a rabbit is a whole new ballgame. They do not like it.
I bet.
So that took 4 of us to do. Mainly, if you groom, you do it for your love of the animals.
Right, right.
Because you're going to get mauled somewhere along the way.
Yeah, well, you can't help it. I mean, in this business. And you could see in just rubbing Sophie, she sheds a lot. She always has. Mm-hmm. And tell me about this. It seems like when she's upset, she sheds more than other times. Is that just my imagination?
Yeah, that is very, very true. In fact, in moving my cat to my new house, my cat rarely ever sheds. That's why I like him. In moving him in the car to the new house, clumps were just flying. It was awful. And then cats in the grooming room, when they're there, if it's a short-haired cat or something and they're getting their toenails done, they'll just shed all over my shirt. It's definitely stress relates to taking... To having the shedding. Now, what do you feed Sophie?
Okay, I was going to ask you, what do we do to stop the clumping in the future? But if it's food related, we give her and Jelly Bean half a can each of wet food. Usually they like the pate. Yes, they like the liquid in it, and the fact that it's liver, they like that. Half in the morning, each half in the evening, and we give them a couple of doses of dry kitty litter, or you know, meow mix, during the day, and that's the dry food.
Okay. Now, one thing I would recommend towards the shedding is switching to a higher quality food. You want something with no byproducts in it, preferably no corn, no wheat, no soy. Corn, wheat, and soy just come back out the other end. It's wasted proteins. It's just like if you or I eat corn.
Sure. So how do I know other than if you tell me what brand to buy, and I'll buy that brand?
You want to read the back of the container. Can I have one of the kitty and the dog goodie bags so that I can go over the back?
We have a runner, and she's off to get a goodie bag, and here comes the goodie bag, and in the goodie bag is the type of food I'm going to now buy. Now, is this type of food store-bought, or is it only found at a pet store?
It's going to be found. You want something that's typically found at a pet store.
Okay.
If you can get it at the grocery store, unless we're talking about Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, it's probably something that you don't want. You want your first ingredient to be meat or a meat meal.
Okay.
And this is for dogs and cats. So I have right here a bag of Signature, and my first ingredient is whitefish. My second ingredient is whitefish meal. That is fantastic. Now, you, aside from the vitamin pack, read the back of this and tell me if there's anything you don't know on it.
Well, I don't know how to read without my glasses, number one. So luckily, I pulled out a pair in the back, in my backpack here, in my pocket. All right, am I reading the ingredients?
Is there anything on there that you don't recognize other than the possible vitamins?
Well, I mean, vitamin A and dehydrated, what is that? Alphites? What is that? I can't see.
Alfalfa.
Oh,
you can't read with your glasses?
I can't. This is really small print.
It's very small.
All right.
So you want your first ingredient to be a meat or a meat protein.
Meat. So, now, is fish considered a meat?
Fish is considered a meat.
Okay. Clears that up.
In very rare cases, you will have an animal that might be vegetarian.
Okay.
If you're a vegetarian,
not,
that does not mean your dog should be.
No, I'm not a vegetarian.
Dog needs meat.
And I'm never going to call Sophie a dog.
Your cat means meat. Animals naturally in the wild are hunters.
So right.
Their first ingredient needs to be meat.
Okay. And that's why she always brought back bunnies.
That's why she's bringing you bunnies, some good old-fashioned rabbit.
Right.
Now, you want a food that, if possible, says grain-free or specifically says no corn, no wheat, no soy. Do I have anything? I have a grain-free right here.
Okay.
And then this one specifically says potato and grain-free.
Okay.
Grains are going to cause your animal to shed more.
This is what they call gluten-free for cats, but
that would be gluten-free, right?
That would be
gluten-free. So, but cats and dogs are gluten-free animals.
Well, you know, whatever happened 10 years ago, before anybody ever knew what gluten was, what did the cats, dogs, and people do back then? I think we survived.
I do think, and you know, and I gotta say, I did have a lab that lived to be 17 and a half, and we fed her bacon strips and
people food, everything.
Oh, God. Off the wazoo. Are you kidding me? If I was eating it, chocolate cake, gum, she'd eat everything.
And ladies and gentlemen out there, remember not to get thing stuck up the wazoo. Just saying. Just saying.
Nothing up the wazoo.
Nothing up the wazoo.
But, so you want a cat food that specifically is food.
Okay, so those two products, those are the dry foods.
These are dog dry foods and infant cat dry foods, because technically cats shouldn't be eating too much dry food.
Okay.
Cats don't intake the amount of water that they need to survive. They're very finicky.
Oh, they both drink water all day long. All day long.
Do you have a fountain or do you have a bowl?
We have bowls all over in the bedroom, out by on the deck, and I change it every day because they just drink a lot.
Very good. You have to keep fresh water out. So usually we recommend that somebody feeds a wet food along with a dry food. Now, I'm lazy. My cat gets dry food in the morning because I am not hunting around for a can at 7 o'clock, which I know is not that early.
Right.
And at nighttime, he gets his wet food, and I'll put goat's milk in it or I'll put water in it. But my cat doesn't drink enough water, so I have to.
Now, those size, the small cans, I would give half to Jelly Bean and half to Sophie in the morning, and then another half of each in the evening. Is that overfeeding them, or is that about right?
The food that you're feeding them right now, that's about right. Now, if you were to feed this, since it's all meat and all protein, you'd actually be feeding them a whole can.
Each. Like, Sophie
whole
would
can
get
in
this
the morning,
whole...
whole can at night, whole can in the morning.
For each of them. Yes. Okay, so two cans
no
a day.
Wasted ingredient.
Okay, all right.
So it's all real meat. If I were to... Well, I guess I can open it. It's just a little gross. I'm going to open it.
Oh, Sophie will probably want to eat a little bit of it.
I have actually... The reps for these companies...
Are those for dogs also, or is this cat?
This is cat food.
Oh, good.
Now look at that. This
do we have a little bowl we could put this in?
I can get a bowl.
And all right.
Does that not look like grandma's chicken soup?
It is. In fact...
You can see the peas, the carrots, the chicken.
When my son was, you know, two, since he's adopted, I got him at two, so I missed most of the potty training, luckily. But anyway, he loved the kids, what do you call the kids' food?
The Chef Boyardee?
The generic. I mean, all the stuff that's in the jars.
Oh, that baby food.
Baby food. Right. Anyway. Yeah, Gerber, whatever. So that baby food is so good. I would eat half of it while I was serving John the baby food. I would eat. Baby food is one good thing. Ooh, Sophie. We're going to get you a little bowl here. Oh, cheesy. We don't need a bowl.
So the thing with this food is you can actually tell that that is chicken, that is corn, that is peas. Well, is that corn? No, that's pumpkin. Sorry, pumpkin, peas. You can tell what's in it. It's not a squishy pate. Is that a rocks glass?
There you go, Sophie. Chow down. There's she. Yeah. Alrighty.
So this is chicken and pumpkin, grandma's chicken soup. We have our main ingredient is chicken, which we can clearly see.
Yeah, chicken, and I could see the corn.
Pumpkin.
Oh, pumpkin.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's corn too. It's pumpkin.
All right. So she liked it better just out of
it. Liked it better in the can.
Yeah.
Not in the candy dish. But you want to feed your cat something that's a higher quality. You don't want to eat McDonald's every day, do you?
Well, you couldn't tell my stomach that. Well, and I think she liked it. Is the can still there?
Yeah.
I'll put some of the juice back because I think she.
Here.
Yeah, here. Pour the juice. This is a cooking show now, folks.
Yeah.
Nutrition and cooking.
She might actually like it out of the can. There's no rough edges, so she's fine to just dig in.
Here, Sophie. Right there. There you go. Have at it. So, okay. And what do these little cans run?
Oh, what do they run? Abby, you're my price point person.
Normally, those things are like 50 cents each. What are they, a buck, buck and a half?
These are probably $1, $1.19.
All right, so double our cost.
Double your cost, but you get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. And
going home with a goodie bag for Sophie.
Oh, good. And healthy... healthy cats from going forward.
Very healthy. Here we have, what is this one? This one is chicken, just chicken and gravy. So it's just like she's eating your dinner. And kangaroo.
Oh,
I have
real kangaroo?
Kangaroo. This is my favorite. It's just cool to be able to say I feed my animals kangaroo.
Do they like kangaroo?
They love kangaroo. This is kangaroo and blueberries. It's by Maori. It is a fantastic cat food. And they do, they have kangaroo, they have bushtail, they have some sort of fish from Australia. But, so I like to just be able to say, I feed my animals kangaroo. So all of my dogs are actually getting switched to kangaroo next month.
Wow, that's amazing. So I'm going to upgrade my food supply for my cats.
It'll definitely help their shedding.
Okay. And now, how often should I, say, come back to you to get groomed? Or will this be enough and we could just now brush her more regularly and she won't need to be groomed?
Exactly. You should be able to brush her more regularly. Plus, you're going home with your waterless shampoo.
Okay.
Use this once a month, or if she starts to mat up earlier, just start using it once you see her starting to mat up. You can even concentrate it onto the mats. It's relatively tasteless, so she'll still clean herself. I've tried it out myself before. It's not too bad.
How's the kangaroo?
The kangaroo, actually, one of my employees did eat it, and he said it wasn't bad. Now, I myself could just not go that far.
No, I think I will pass on the kangaroo as well.
It does smell nice when you open it, though.
Oh.
You smell the fresh blueberries, not the kangaroo.
Oh, so it's got a blueberry juice.
It's a blueberry. It's not too bad.
There is a cat downtown called Blueberry. Now, my wife's mom lives at the Society Hill Towers, and across the street from the Ritz Theaters and the Sheraton Hotel. And we see this cat sitting on a park bench there in this rest area between the three towers. And as we get closer, we could see that there's a sign on the cat with a little harness around its neck, and the sign says, "My name is Blueberry. I'm not lost. Don't pick me up and don't take me away. I know where I am and I know where I'm going." And that's Blueberry. And he just hangs around the towers, knows where his owner is, and just goes out by himself. And everybody knows Blueberry because Blueberry has his little sign saying, "I'm Blueberry."
That is very cute. Aww.
So that's my Blueberry story.
That is Blueberry. Let's see.
Okay, so if you want to try that again. No. Well, we got food for it because she's got her bowls at home. And I'm going to give you, because I have a pet service myself, Soap and Bean Pet Care, and of course she's Soap. I'm going to give you a mat or a series of mats that you could give out to people at your grooming shop. And it's a little advertisement. And we put it under the food bowls and the water bowls for our customers as a little gift when we're done servicing them for a particular time period. We have bowls, water bowls also. Everything has our names on it, so it's all advertising. My wife is the marketing genius that comes up with all these ideas. When we got married, on the beach, and instead of having swords, you know, cross swords, like three or four rows of cross swords, people holding up swords and you walk under them, we had oars. So we had six oars, six people holding up crossed oars, and we would walk under the oars coming off of the beach to go up to the reception. So my wife said, okay, let's do for Soap and Bean, let's make an oar. So I painted it off-white, and we went to Cinerama, and they put Soap and Bean Pet Care on this oar. Where we're going to use it, she says, if we ever have a shop, our own office, we're going to put the oar in the office.
And that'll be your sign. That's very cute. Now, what, do you pet sitting?
Yes. Soap and Bean Pet Care. I do overnights. In fact, I've got starting Sunday for 16 nights. I'll come to the home at about 11 o'clock and leave at 9 in the morning, come back about one to let the dog out, or dogs come back at 5 to feed them and let them out, and then go home, go to dinner, whatever, and then come back around 11 again. So that's my overnight service. And it's a $75 service, and as many nights as people need me when they go on vacation. And they want somebody to watch their home.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It's not just the pet. They want someone there to watch the place.
Exactly, so it looks lived in.
Right. And always we go to the client's home, and We'll, again, dog walk. I've taken dogs to dog parks, some big dogs. I had this Husky and this German Shepherd, and they were 1 year old and 90 pounds each. And they were big. They were Balto and Riley, and they were great. And they went to the dog park, and they just jumped on each other and, like, really fought playfully because they're, you know, big dogs. Yeah. And one was more aggressive than the other. And so take them to dog parks. I'll come to their home. I'll just watch their cat. When I leave here, I have three more customers to see today. First one I'm going to see is Stella. Stella's a German Shepherd, and Stella's just lovely. I'll show you when we get off the air a little video of her. She jumps in this pond. The back of the house in Wayne has their own pond, and every time I let her out, jumps in the pond, moves the ducks. There's two white geese and about 50 ducks in this pond, and they seem not to go anywhere. They're very content right there. Then I'm going to go see Cora, and Cora's a cat. See her a couple times a day just to give her the little cat food. I'm not going to give her this food. This is going to be for the Soap and Bean crowd. That's right. But anyway, so that's our service, and we service the King of Prussia surrounding area and the main line. So it's a nice area, and been in the business for a couple of years. I got in it after I retired from Comcast. I was in cable TV for 30 years, started in 83 in Los Angeles, and went to Phoenix, went to Minneapolis, went to Dallas, and then in 04 came here.
You've been around a little bit.
I've been around a little bit. Huh. So anyway, that's what we do, and we thank you for coming in and being a part of our show and being the first ever groomed cat on the air, on the radio. So we have a first we could acknowledge on the radio network for future posterity.
It helps to have such a fantastic little lady.
Yes, she's a good guinea pig. Good subject. Okay, well, thank you much, and take care.
Thank you. You too.